Hey everybody, I'm Corbin.
And I'm Camry.
And we are siblings reconnecting with the joy of our Disney-filled childhood. Join us as we discuss, debate, and rediscover the second star to the right. This is The Neverland Files. Hello everyone.
Hello, happy the week of Valentine's.
Happy the week. Happy the week of the Valentine's Day.
Yes. Of the hearts and the Valentine roses.
Welcome to our Valentine's
special.
I always want to say Valentine with an M. It just seems right. Time, it happens every year.
Okay, no.
It's our episode today is the romantic
Disney. There can be all kinds of love, but yes, romantic will be on part of the agenda today.
Yeah. I mean, we're gonna talk about couples and family and mother, father, daughter, brother.
Love. Just all the mushy stuff, guys. The really mushy stuff.
Which just is a great example of how the English language is so messed up. Because in most other languages, the word love is just, they have lots of different variations of love. And for us, it's just
romantic.
And we don't know. And we get confused with this four-letter word that causes so many problems.
Anyways.
And happiness.
Okay. We're going to start. We're going to go through the three categories that we sent out a poll on Instagram. We got some fun feedback from you guys, which we're going to bring into our discussion. But we'll go through each category, say what we chose, and then we will talk about some of the stuff and the comments that you guys brought up. So, Corbin, our first category is we're going to talk about which song we think is the best Disney love song. Best Disney love song.
I have a few votes.
Okay, I do too. Because okay. we made you guys pick one, but we break our own rules. So, Corbin, go ahead.
Okay, my first one for love song or romantic song or song
Whatever.
That mentions the word love or something. Anyways, is You'll Be in My Heart.
Oh, my heavens. Can I just say, this was one of the first responses we got on Instagram, and I about fell off my chair because I was like, you win, sir. You win, because that is such a good love song. And it's like, in the movie, the context is like mother, son, monkey, and
gorilla.
And human love.
Abandoned human.
But it's such a good one. It's so good.
It is really good. And with like, I love, you know how I'm a sucker for duets, but this isn't a duet per se. It is gorilla singing, and then Phil Collins comes in.
That's true. It is. It's like the narrator is singing, and then the character chimes in.
The more I talk about it, the more weird it sounds, but I do love it. And it's one of those songs that you might be watching this in the background, this movie, Tarzan, and then when that song comes on, you just stop everything, and you're just paying attention.
You're like, wow. It's so good.
It's good. So there you go.
It almost like kind of makes you weepy.
It does.
You know, it's a tender, tender song.
Because Tarzan is so, I just don't fit in. And his mom is like, you're okay.
Oh.
Anyways, okay, sorry.
Corbin, that's so, so good.
Thank you.
Okay, my first. See, how can I, now we've had you and someone on Instagram say that. Now I'm sunk. Okay, best Disney love song. My first one actually is an oldie. But guys, I think it's a goodie that we completely overlook. It is So This Is Love from Cinderella. That is actually one of my favorite love song duets. It is so good. Not because of the couple necessarily, but the two people they had sing the song are just so compatible with their voices. Ugh. It's so good.
I only remember the So This Is Love, la 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 la, and she's like humming it. And I love that type of music.
And the scene, like the visuals of that scene, are spectacular. Like when they're kind of like out in the gardens and they're dancing, and it's just such a pretty, well constructed scene. The rest of the movie is so fun and charming, and the couple is meh, but that song is on point.
I agree. I love
Yay!
It. I like it, which is unique for us because we haven't dabbled in the old timer stuff much.
I had to bring that one up because I was like, oh, that one it's underrated.
Good
work.
We
need to appreciate it more.
Well done.
Okay, Corbin, what was your next best Disney love song?
Oh, this one, I've almost embarrassed to share this a little bit. So from Mulan, True to Your Heart.
No, Corbin, that is a great song. Don't you be embarrassed by that.
No, this is why I'm embarrassed.
98 Degrees.
Yes, 98 Degrees boy band. But this is why I'm embarrassed.
True to Your Heart.
Because in, I believe it was seventh grade.
Okay.
Drama class. I had a drama career at some point. There's lots of stories there. None of them good. But drama class, for whatever reason, you know how you're in school. I think probably the teacher had a migraine or something. So it's just flip on a movie day. So we flipped on Mulan. Uh-huh. And it just recently come out, I think, the year or two before. And amazingly, when this end credits song came on by 98 Degrees, I felt so into it that I started singing, not like way out loud, but I was kind of mouthing.
Which was big for you. That's in a school deal. Setting.
Yes. I mean, we're in a classroom here. I'm by myself singing, kind of mouthing the words, and someone caught me. And it was the cool kid that caught me and started laughing and making fun of me. And I kind of owned it. I kind of was like, you know what? This is a good song.
Good for you. Good job, Corbin.
So take that.
Oh my gosh, I love that song. And the sad thing is, it is only in the credits. Have you watched the music video that goes with it?
Oh, it's
it's so 90s awkward, but I kind of love it. 98 Degrees, Corbin, you picked a boy band. Oh, I'm not usually a boy band person.
It's quite the toe tapper.
It's such a toe tapper. Okay. Oh, that's a good one too. Gosh, dang it. Okay. I'm glad you picked that one because mine is in the same vein in that it's a song that is just played during the credits.
Okay.
So it is Never Knew I Needed from Princess and the Frog. It's the end credits song and you're grimacing because you don't remember
it. I don't remember it.
It is so good. And somebody else on Instagram mentioned it and I felt a kindred spirit. I was like, yes, it's so good. And I love the message of it because it's like the whole Princess and the Frog thing where you have two people who didn't even, they wanted different things. She wants a restaurant and he wants to be free and be a playboy. And then they're like, wait a minute, that's not what I needed. And it's cute.
But she got her restaurant.
Yes, she did.
But he did not. I guess he kind of dabbled in that realm a little bit.
Well, he wanted money, I guess, right? Freedom. Freedom, maybe?
Yeah, he did get that. Okay, so they both got what they wanted.
Guys, it's a good one. Highly suggest you put it on your playlists. Okay, Corbin.
I'm going to go with more of a classic here, A Whole New World. It is quite fun.
Such a good duet.
It is, and again, it's a duet.
It's a duet.
I can't help myself.
What circus for a duet? You know what? Somebody brought that up. That was actually one that came up on Instagram quite frequently. I didn't want to pick it because, you know, I'm like you, trying to be different over here and like
well, obviously I'm not
really
different.
Push the envelope. But that is one of those songs that I sit there and listen to it and I'm like, how did the two singers singing the song not just like fall in love with each other while they were singing the song?
They're like, we need to put like a wall between
they're like,
them.
The chemistry is too much
they're
right now.
They're getting distracted.
They're like, what am I singing? Oh, it's just so good. I agree with you. That's a good one.
I'm curious. I think it works, though, partly because of the magic carpet. If you had them just walking through a garden singing that, it wouldn't land. So I think
that's a good point.
The carpet is very important to the song.
Yeah. And you know the cool thing about the magic carpet is it kind of like is simulating like the thrill and nervousness and anxiety, but like the awesomeness of falling in love. Does that make sense? Like we're like, ooh, you're like they're doing the roller coaster thing. Yeah. And like your stomach's kind of like up in your chest,
you're
but like
nervous.
It's also super exciting.
Yeah, you're nervous but excited.
Yeah,
and there's lots of emotions and some people right now are like, that's a good thing, right?
Yeah,
like,
I think if you felt it you understand.
Well, when you feel it, it's one of those, it's terrible.
You're like, no, please, no.
Please, not this again. No. It's so wonderful.
I don't want to go down that road.
And the crash is terrible.
There doesn't always have to be a crash.
I'm so confused. DTR. We need to do a DTR.
Oh my gosh. Yes. That's so funny. Okay. My last one is, again, you're going to look at me and be like, I don't understand what you're saying. So this is actually an instrumental song.
Okay.
It's called Define Dancing, and it's from WALL-E. And it's when WALL-E and Eva are out, like, dancing in the stars together.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that song.
It is a good one.
It's so good. I have that on my playlist, and I put it on repeat. And it's just so, like, whimsical and magical and, ugh.
And but. I personally like scores from movies
because
it gives some room for interpretation.
Ooh, yes.
As opposed to being told, this is a love song or this is what I feel or think.
Yeah.
You can fill in the blanks with your own thoughts.
Agreed. Okay. Some other stuff that came up from you guys. Are you done? Or did I just roll over?
I think this one will come up. So go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Let's listen to the audience.
I think the one that we all agreed on that came up several times was At Last I See the Light from Tangled.
I think it's I see the light.
Excuse me. I see the light. That one came up a lot.
That was the one I was going to say.
Yeah. Okay, here's the thing. Is it because I think this is kind of like a whole new world situation where if you had them somewhere else in a different location, would it change that song?
I think in this case, although the visual is stunning and amazing with the lanterns, I think the song would actually carry it without the lanterns.
Okay.
I think
so. And it's another duet.
Just a little like giggle.
Like, what can I say?
Disney, if it's a duet between, I mean, Cogsworth and Lumiere, I'm like, yes, let's do this.
Or Phil Collins and a gorilla.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my gosh. What else have we got? We've got So Close from Enchanted. Do you remember that song? It's the while they're dancing on the ballroom floor together.
Yes,
that's a really good one.
That is a sneaky one. I did not think about that.
I didn't either.
Well done, whoever that was.
Seriously, thank you for bringing that up because I now had to go back in and add that to like the top of my playlist so I could listen to it because I remember having it on my high school playlist and it was so good.
The problem with Enchanted is I only remember the goofy parts, like Giselle.
Oh,
you know?
God, I love Giselle.
I mean, that's
Giselle.
Funny, but you forget that there's truly like a romantic. At least I do. I need to watch it sooner. Sooner than later. I need to watch this.
Let's watch that one sooner than later. Okay.
Okay, sounds good. Let's move on with our life.
Another song that came up from that one, actually from our awesome nephew, was That's How You Know when they're in the park. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, I think
with like the like drummers, and you've got the balloons and the dancers and stuff.
Kind of making fun of... Are they kind of making fun of like the Disney, everyone jumps into singing
where
and
like the whole Central Park is in on this and he's just like, what is going on? He's like, how do these people know this dance?
I think the director was saying the same thing. He's like, who are these people?
Get them out of the shot.
This is not part of the play. Oh, wait, actually, this is kind of good.
He's
never mind.
Just let them go. That's actually a really fun song. And I'm starting to remember like how charming that soundtrack is.
Again, I need to watch this movie sooner than later because it's good. I forget about it.
Yeah,
so.
Me too. And then there's one other song that came up a couple times, but this would be in the worst Disney love song category, I think. And that would be the song, I don't even know if it's a duet. It's from Snow White when they meet each other.
The vocals are a little rough, and maybe the budget was the budget was a little limited there, so I can understand that. But I was listening to that song, and I was paying attention to the lyrics, and I was like, "There's potential here. We just a little too much 1930s whatever."
But did you hear it? Somebody brought up this was I was laughing out loud, guys, as I was reading your comments. It just was cracking me up. Somebody brought up the first line of that song is like, he's like, hear what I have to say. And it's like, okay, dude, you just calm down a little bit. You don't need to tell everyone that you're talking. We get it.
Everyone, I'm talking.
Hey.
Look at me. I'm talking.
Eye contact right here. Listen to me.
Although we, in our society today, we do this a lot.
Yes, we do.
I am talking. I am sharing.
Yeah.
I am doing. Look at this.
That's what we do. We're doing a podcast for heaven's sakes. That's what we're doing.
Yes.
Hey, we have opinions.
So maybe we are too similar to this prince fella.
Which makes us uncomfortable.
Which makes us judge him even more.
Prince fella. This young rascal. I just love that when somebody brought up Snow White, they were like, they called him the Prince guy. And I'm like, it's, you know, it's bad if you can't even, does he have a name?
Well, that's all the princes were back then. Like, yeah. Aurora, you know, Snow White.
He had a name.
Cinderella. His name was Philip. I know, but that you're just, you have to think about it for a second.
That's a good point.
And that's okay.
So maybe it's weird because it's like the female characters were lacking in personality, but the male characters were lacking a name. So where do you come out on top of
that? Well, they don't need a name. They're so charming and dashing that they just show up and swoop.
They're named after their characteristics. Prince Charming. all right. Are we ready to move on to our next category?
Yeah, let's transition.
Did we just totally go overboard with the songs?
Thank you for the suggestions. I love the songs.
Me too. Guys, I'm serious. Like, I really did have to go make a playlist on Spotify and, like, get myself reoriented because...
You forget.
You forget. Okay. Let's go into... Should we go over... Should we go... Let's go negative first. Let's end on a positive.
Okay.
So let's go with most overrated Disney couple.
Okay. All right. I will give my first.
Yes.
Overrated Disney couple. And mine are out there. Mine are kind of... I mean, when we're talking Disney...
Well, then, how can they be overrated?
No. I'm talking about, like, with Disney, like, you got Pixar, Star Wars... Marvel. So I'm gonna dabble in all
these. Okay, I dabbled
areas.
In all of them too.
Okay,
so
my first one for overrated, and we've talked about this one a lot.
Yes.
Is Thor and Jane.
Are they overrated though? Do people like them?
Well, they're just terrible. So if anyone likes them in this world, it's overrated. Jane is awful. We like Thor. Thor's a nice, good guy, I think.
I want to like Jane so badly. I just do, and it... Gosh.
It's one of those situations where you're like, what does he see in her?
Yeah.
Am I right? Yes. Everyone's nodding as they're listening to this. Yes.
Like, yes. Yeah, she's just not well written. She's almost, she's like, has enough promise that you're like, I'm almost to the point where I can like you, but something is wrong and I don't know what it is.
You know, there's a problem. You know, there's a problem.
Two movies worth of us ranting about this.
Yeah. You know, there's a problem when you find out that they break up and
you're not sad about it.
You're happy. You're like, you're like, thank you.
Good. Good.
Thank you for listening to me.
He needs to move on.
Yes.
He needs to move on. Okay. My first overrated couple is Ariel and Eric from Little Mermaid. Guys, I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't.
This is a movie that I don't have much of an opinion on because I just don't know them. I was reading some articles about how it's she gave up her voice to have legs and
yeah, the whole premise of the story is dumb. But like she falls in love with him because she sits and watches him from on a boat, and he falls in love with a voice, and then he gets confused because Ursula steals her voice and makes herself looks pretty and has the same voice, and he's like, oh, it must be her then because she has the same voice.
Stupid
Ariel. And you're just like, guys, you clearly don't know what you're doing.
He's the kitty that's following the laser pen. He's just like, yeah. Well, there's a pretty thing. Oh, there's another shiny
thing.
Like,
oh, look over. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, over here. Yeah. I don't get it. I'm sorry. I know people like them or like Eric. I don't know. I just, whatever.
I do think for some people, there's something to be said about sacrificing something really important to you for a relationship. Now, I'm not saying... You
reason.
Give up yourself, right? But I think there's something there because a relationship is about giving up some things.
No. Well, no, I'm not saying it's not.
Okay.
Well,
I was like, wow, geez, okay.
Relationships are about being
be selfish.
No, sorry, because I was sitting here thinking about it. I'm like, she doesn't even, I don't know.
I haven't seen the movie, so I will reserve judgment.
For how iconic they are and like for how much they show up in the parks and for how much they show up in like advertising
well,
and stuff,
her,
I just don't
I
get
don't
it.
See Eric a lot. She's a classic Disney princess, so anyway.
Okay. Next.
All right, number two, overrated. Anna and Kristoff.
Oh, thank you. I didn't want to bring it up.
No, there's something weird going on here.
Okay, you want to know... Okay, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Tell me about my pick.
and then I can be quiet.
Okay, no, it's okay. I don't have much to say. I just, there's something weird going on here with Frozen 1. Anna, I have a hard time with Anna. She's kind of like Eric. She just kind of, whatever is closest to her in terms of proximity, in terms of human man, she just globs to that thing, like Prince Hans and then Kristoff. And I'm like, you know, she needs to go to college. She needs to meet some more people.
Yes, please.
Have some experiences. And then if you come back to Kristoff, great. But I'm just not convinced.
Here's my thing with Anna. Oh, geez.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
No, I'm with you. I feel like, because I'm sitting here and I'm like, I love Rapunzel. And they have very similar stories where they've been kind of sequestered away and they're kind of naive.
Yeah.
But I think the thing with Anna is like, she's a people person. And so she needs people. She doesn't have hobbies. Like, Rapunzel could, like, grow and progress somewhat by herself because she had means of, like, she has hobbies, she paints, she can fill her time with stuff, where Anna just wandered around and was like, I'm bored, for like 16 years. And she's one of those people that needs to, like, for her personality, she needs to get out and socialize and meet people for her to grow. And I don't think she, by the time you reach the end of Frozen 2, I don't know that she is in a place where she has progressed enough to deserve Kristoff. I think Kristoff is more of a whole person. He knows who he is, and he's willing to sacrifice for Anna and put her first. But I don't think she's emotionally mature enough yet for him.
She hasn't arrived.
No, she hasn't. And I'm not saying they can't be great in the future after she's gone to college, but she needs a few semesters with roommates and socializing stimulation and... Oh, heavens.
The image I have of her is just her head, forehead against a door, Elsa's door, and basically just saying, I'm bored for all life.
Yeah. It's like, go do something. You have a whole castle. This is coming from true introverts. So we apologize to all you extroverts out there. But I'm with you. I don't think Anna quite deserves Kristoff yet. Because Kristoff has some great lines in Frozen 2, and he is, like, in a good place to be in a relationship. I don't think she's quite there yet.
Yeah.
Okay, well, since Corbin's...
I'm glad I hit a nerve there.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't want to bring it up, but you brought it up.
Okay, you're number two or three. I'm not sure where we're at with
next,
you.
My next overrated couple is Woody and Bo Peep. I'm sorry.
Did Toy Story 4 ruin this for you?
Toy Story 4 kind of ruined this for me. Because I don't know.
So one and two, it works.
Yeah, because I'm not saying, like, I want Bo Peep in the background, but that's not the purpose of Toy Story is their romance. So it's just kind of like a cute, fun thing that just kind of pops up occasionally, you know what I mean? And then they took this and made it a whole movie to the point where Woody's motivations are now completely surrounded in her, and you're just like, I didn't see enough of them before to make me think that he cares that much about
her. Think he was doing okay without her.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden it's like high school flame. And then 40 years later, you reconnect, and it's just like...
And you give up everything. You give up your entire life that you have for this person that you knew when you were 15 years old.
Yeah, it's the relationship is a little immature still.
Yeah, so I just think it's overrated in the sense that they took that one kernel from the first two movies and made an entire movie about it.
Okay, all right, I see that.
It was a little much for me.
All right. Okay, my last overrated couple...
Okay.
This one really, like, irks me. I get emotional, like, angry.
Okay.
Which ties in with him. It's Anakin and Padme.
Oh, my gosh. I have them on my list. I have them on my list.
They both have issues. Mm-hmm. A lot of issues.
Him more so than her, but yes.
Well, I think she has issues, too, because obviously she's connecting with this guy. I mean, Anakin, Padme. You're watching their relationship.
I mean, this is the relationship that is, like, the core and center of 9 Star Wars movies. Because without this relationship, you don't have
the whole galaxy's balance is hinging upon this relationship.
So, in the sense that, like, they're overrated in that, like, for how much of an impact they had on generations of people, I just didn't feel in the 3 live action movies that they loved each other that much to actually impact.
It was almost this rebellious relationship. Like, I don't even really like you, but I know it's wrong, and so I just want to do it. You know, it's like, I just want to, like, sneak out of my house in the middle of the night to hang out with somebody. Oh, I just bumped into you. Let's do like crazy things together. And you're like, but is there really much depth there in terms of, I don't know.
Okay, here's my thing with them. I feel like you, yes, in the beginning, especially in episode two, you get that sense, especially with Padme, where she's kind of like, I mean, she's been queen since she was 14, I think.
Two, whatever.
Not two, but.
Got her rattle.
And then she went right into being a senator. And so like her life has very much been filled and very structured with important things, but there just wasn't any room for that. And so episode two, I think initially very much so with her. My problem with episode three is, they just ruined her character. They just really, not ruined it, but just made her kind of like whiny, simpering, emotional, pregnant woman. And I'm like, I get that's part of being pregnant, but I really think Padme has more backbone than that. Like, I really don't think she's just going to lay over and die about this whole thing. The Clone Wars, did Clone Wars help for you?
No, it made it worse. Like, anytime Padme came... Ooh. Any episode with Padme in it, I was like, I am enduring this episode.
I don't agree with that. I think Clone Wars helped me.
I didn't love...
Because I think Anakin is more a well-rounded character in Clone Wars. You get more of a chance to understand him and his strengths and his weaknesses. Because I think the three movies, you're very much focusing on his weaknesses. Because you have to see how he ends up becoming Darth Vader. Anyways.
Yeah, with Clone Wars, Padme, they introduced her in the first three episodes, right? And you're just like, this girl is, there's not much there.
Yeah.
Like, they're trying to portray strength. Mm-hmm. And then the Clone Wars, they almost doubled down on that, like to show that she's a really strong person. And I never bought it. Like, so the way they set her up in the first three movies, and then they tried to, I think, not correct it, but strengthen her, it didn't work. I was like, There's not a connection here. I just don't see her as a strong person.
I love Padme. I loved Padme as a young girl, and I will forever love Padme. And this isn't to say that when we review these Star Wars movies, like, I'll give you why I think, like, their relationship makes sense. But I will agree with you in the sense that, like, as I said, for the impact that they had over nine movies, I don't think that their love quite equals the wow that came.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways, okay.
Your last one?
No, that was Anakin and Padme were on my list. So that was a good
right.
one.
Yes,
that was a good
we,
one to.
So now that we've ruined Valentine's, let's try and
hold improve. on. We got to get other people's opinions.
Oh yes. Let's. Let's keep ruining it.
Overrated. we have. I mean, they're mostly just traditional princess couples, Aurora and Philip. I would agree with that, in the sense of like how iconic, again, like if you're thinking of like the couples and the advertising that Disney does, and like
I need to watch that again,
the romances, Aurora and Philip, I don't get it. But here's the thing, I love Philip, and I'm like, oh, Philip deserves better. But then I also had this thought of like, you know what, Sleeping Beauty deserves better, because she has 10 minutes of screen time, and then they put her to sleep for 40 minutes, and it's like, that was lame.
This is where there's a clash of the cultures.
Yeah.
Like when we look at old time royalty, mm-hmm. this was very normal, right? To have two royal families that their children.
Well, and their children never meet, and then they get married.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah. So I think that this is that's a product of the clash of cultures in time.
Well, and also that it's like a 1950s movie, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's what it is.
I'm still open to that one.
Belle and Beast was actually brought up by not me. This was brought up by someone else as being overrated. I would somewhat agree with this.
Nope. You're wrong.
We've talked about this. If you want more on this, watch our Beauty and the Beast live action and animated.
Watch it with
review.
Your ears. Yes.
I love Belle and Beast, but I just don't feel the animated does their coupling justice. And then the other one is Snow White came up several times too. And I think the reason Snow White and her prince are so iconic is because they were the first, which we just kind of have to get over, you know? Like, Snow White, even though it has problems, is a masterpiece in animation for the 1930s.
Is it because of the prince's lipstick? Is that what we're referring to here? We talked about that a little bit before we started this podcast.
We did. The prince's lipstick. I just love that they felt the need to put lipstick on him because it was tradition in old movies at the time that they had just come from theater where you had to make up people's faces so you can see them. So they kept doing it when they made movies, but it's like, guys, the camera's right next to the person. I can see them.
You could put the camera as close as you want yeah. to this drawing.
Yes. And they, the princes, yeah, I guess they were afraid his lips were going to disappear. You couldn't see the, his lips move with that love song.
Although I will say this. This concept of putting lipstick on the face or makeup on the face so you can see it better,
mm-hmm.
they need to do that with the live action Lion King, because that's one complaint I have about that movie is these animals, their mouths don't move and they're talking. So maybe some lipstick on Simba would have helped so you could actually like, is he talking or is it some guy in the bush?
I haven't seen this movie, so you guys will have to tell me if Corbin is out to lunch.
I really struggled with that one. Simba's mouth is not moving and yet he's talking a lot.
That is so funny. The last overrated that I have actually made me really laugh out loud is, you don't know who this is, but Troy and Gabriella from High School Musical. Guys.
I was stymied on that one.
I grew up in the age of High School Musical. Like, that's my high school time period. And I'm sitting back here thinking on it. And I'm like, yep, I think that is a fair assessment.
Anything High School Musical is overrated. I'm okay with it. All right, let's go. I haven't seen it, so.
Here we go. We're going to end on a positive note, guys. Who are the most underrated Disney couples? Corbin?
Number one.
What say ye?
Cinderella and Kit.
Ooh, from the live action.
And they are not, they're not like, people don't think about them, but they're that good.
Yeah. Like, they deserve to be talked about
the way
more.
They casted them.
Oh, their chemistry
the
is.
The chemistry.
What?
It's pretty awesome.
It's just like, yeah.
I'm
we
all
talked
in.
About this. Kenneth Branagh, who directed that, also went on to direct the two of them doing Romeo and Juliet on stage in the West End in Britain. And I was like, I would pay so much money to watch them do Romeo and Juliet because, wow.
So we had an example of Aurora and Prince Philip, and we're like, we like both people, but do they work together? This one, we like both people, and they work together, which is a
yes.
dynamite combination.
Dynamite.
So Cinderella and Kit.
I agree.
Kit. It's Kit.
Kit. My name is Kit. And he's like, okay. My first underrated couple is Tarzan and Jane. Like, come on, people. They are so awesome together and they're so cute.
So here's my question. With Tarzan, yes. how come he is not an Anna? Because this is the first human being he's ever met. So what is the difference between Anna, who is kind of needs to meet more people, but Tarzan, it works with
again,
Jane.
I think I
thought about them.
I'm not pinning it on her being an extrovert, but I genuinely think that for her to grow, she needs other people around her to like, to stimulate her, you know what I mean?
To get more experience.
I don't think Tarzan
is
that way, obviously. He's lived with gorillas. So he's been fine, you know?
He's not like, I'm bored.
It's so sad because it makes it sound so petty, and I'm not trying to be petty.
But that's the way
I don't know. It works for me, though.
No, I agree with you. I was just curious.
I just love, it's like these, it's that whole fish out of water situation. And I was thinking about this. I
two
feel like
worlds colliding, yes. and it works. It's really kind of charming.
It is. It's so charming. And I feel like it works because Jane, I feel like the Porter family is one of those families in England. Obviously, they have a lot of money because they're able to pay that they can go and look at gorillas. But they're the weird family where everyone's like, oh, gosh, here comes Jane and her dad again, the weirdos. And so they don't even fit back in England. And then they come to the gorillas and they're like, oh, my gosh, like we fit here. And this is so weird because there's no other human beings here. But like, this is where we feel at home. We don't feel at home back in home because people will make fun of us and think we're weird. You know what I mean? That's the backstory I've given them.
I just had this like flash forward to our lives. We go to the jungle and we realize that's where we've right. always belonged.
Oh my gosh, I fit here.
This is home.
This is home. yeah, I love Tarzan and Jane.
I like Tarzan and Jane. I like that. I thought about them, but I was just a little bit... had some questions about that part of it. So
okay.
I love that's a good choice. I like that.
Thank you. Your turn.
Most underrated. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mickey and Minnie.
You think they're underrated?
I think they're underrated. They get forgotten. We have all the princesses and all the like all these relationships of Aurora and Belle and cute and blah blah blah, which I like. But Mickey and Minnie, when you watch them on screen together, which isn't often. We don't have a lot of like, here's a premiere or like a main movie of them. I think they are absolutely charming and wonderful. And it's always so much fun to go to Toontown and visit their homes. Although I will say this, we need to take this relationship another step here instead of just kind of like we're just friends dating, blah, blah,
blah.
That's
my problem. That's why one of the things I didn't want to bring put them on my list is because I'm like, what are they? Are they dating? Are they engaged? Are they married? I don't know what they are. So I was like, I was wondering if it was like the Kermit Miss Piggy syndrome, where like in the Muppets, they put across as like, okay, we have Kermit, who is a serious actor, and Piggy, who is an actor. And then we cast them in these movies and they were romantic leads, but they also kind of like each other like off
I think
screen.
They're delightful. Like the Christmas movie, we just, the Mickey Mouse.
That one was very
tender.
Where
she gives up her, necklace. Mm-hmm. He gives up his harmonica.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, this is true love.
This is true love.
Thank you, mouses.
Thank you, mouses.
For showing us what true love is
about.
I
do quite love them in the Mickey, Donald, and Goofy Three Musketeers movie. They're pretty funny in that movie.
They're both, again, both Mickey and Minnie are so delightful and cute in their way. And then when they're together, you're like, this works. So I think
okay.
They're underrated.
Okay, okay. My next underrated couple is Mulan and Shang. Like, this is one of the reasons I'm having a hard time getting myself to watch the new Mulan movie is because I know that they messed with the Shang thing. And I'm like, don't mess with Shang. He's awesome. What's your grimace? You're grimacing. Why are you grimacing?
Well, it's just that their relationship develops and starts off in a very strange place. One of them pretending to be a man. He is a general.
Here's the thing. Figure. This is why I like this. Is it gives them a lot of time to build mutual respect for each other.
Yeah, there's the time.
Yes, there's tons of time for them to like see the worst, see the best, get some mutual respect. And then I know there's like a lot of different theories out there about like Shang or what have you. But my opinion is that like then he finds out that she's a woman and he's like, whoa, I didn't know I could have this much respect for a woman. Because I mean, it's like Imperial China.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where the women, you just had them pour the tea and that was it. And so I think they're underrated in the sense that like they actually have proper time to develop like an actual good relationship.
And I think that's an important component because with many of these relationships, there's not much time there.
There's not much time.
It's like
and
24
it's,
hours.
Yeah, it's either a really short time period or they're building the relationship on stuff that you're like, that's not going to last. You're like, they're
like
going to break up in 6 months.
Like Anakin and Padme. This is a very shaky foundation you're building upon. A lot of hate and anger in this.
So yeah, I feel like Mulan and Shang have actually probably one of the best foundational relationships.
Okay.
And it's an opposite attract situation, so they both bring a lot to each other.
Yeah, besides the fact of deception and lying and all these things, yeah, I like the foundation.
Well, she's not going out like, I'm going to deceive Shang.
I know. Just
collateral damage. Okay, Corbin, any other underrated?
My last underrated, and then I have an honorable mention, so I guess I have two more. Bernard and Bianca.
Of course, Corbin.
Love Bernard and Bianca.
Somebody on Instagram brought them up, so you're not alone.
As underrated?
Yeah.
Oh, good, good. Because, and this is for, it's like.
Biard, hashtag Biard, everyone.
It's more of a reflection on my, me and my wife.
Yes.
How she is just the engaging, fun, just go do things, adventurous.
Yes.
And then I'm like counting steps and all superstitious and all worried and I need someone to loosen me up. And so I love their relationship for that reason.
That is so cute.
Thank you.
I don't agree because I don't have that. I don't have that personal connection to Biard.
Oh,
so
Biard.
So, okay. But I respect your opinion because I know it has a personal connection.
Thank you. Thank you.
I respect your opinion, but you're wrong. My next underrated couple is Wally and Eve. Is it Eve or Eva? I don't remember.
Eva.
It's spelled Eva. I love them. They're so sweet. I think Wall-E in general is one of those movies that kind of got cast aside because it was like this political, environmental whateverness. But there are some really, it's not a perfect Pixar movie, but there are some really tender moments. And Wall-E is so charming.
Yeah, this is one of those relationships where you have to zoom in on. As soon as you start backing out and like, wait. What am I looking at right now? Then it freaks you out a little bit. But you zoom in on it and you're just like, this is cute.
They're just so cute.
Yeah.
And Wall-E is, the funny thing to me is that these two characters only ever say each other's names. That's the only thing they ever say. There's no dialogue. There's no proclamations of love or miscommunication.
Snow White song.
Yeah.
Listen to what I have to say.
None of that. They're, I don't even know. They're two robots, guys, and it totally works. I don't know how it works, but I think it's so charming and that we all need to appreciate them a little more.
The chemistry between these two machines is out of this world.
It is, and I don't know how that's possible. Oh, my gosh. Okay, Corbin, who is your...
Honorable mention.
Honorable mention.
I mean, the more I look at their names, I'm like, wait, do I really think this? But Mike and Sylvia Wilvia.
Sylvia Wilvia. Googly, Googly Bear. It's only because they have cute pet names. You like their pet names, don't you?
Actually, the more I think about it, I'm like, am I going to take them off this list? But I just wanted to mention them. There's a relationship there, and it's kind of working.
I love that they're
so I'm rethinking my life.
There's a relationship, and it's kind of working. So why not bring
it
up?
Yeah, let's just throw them on there.
Oh, Corbin, that's funny. My last most underrated couple, I'm saying, obviously, this is Star Wars universe. So I'm saying underrated in the Star Wars universe. Some people may not even classify them as a couple. But I think Cassian and Jin from Rogue One are so... Like, that was one of the most... That was what part of the reason that movie was so heartbreaking for me. Is it was just like... How they ended it with them on the beach was like, I can't... I'm done.
I had a category for this. The tragic relationship.
Yeah.
I had the same thing, Jin and Cassian.
Oh, my gosh.
And the reason why is because you have two individuals that have had... Their backgrounds are just...
Awful.
Terrible, yeah. Right? And
their circumstances are terrible,
yeah,
that they're living
but
in.
They find themselves together and there's an appreciation and respect for each other. And then I also love how they ended the relationship in the sense that they died together, but
oh,
it wasn't like
it was so tragic,
you know,
though.
They're kissing and singing to each other and blah blah blah. It's
no,
just
it was
this
very
quiet,
subtle.
It's this quiet moment, yeah, of like
we did all we could together and we're done.
Yeah, and we understand each other, but and so I think, I had them on my list as far as tragic relationships.
Oh, so sad.
I really respect.
Okay. Some of your most underrated suggestions. Like I said, we did have a Bernard and Bianca come up, Corbin. So you are in good company.
Fist pump for you.
We had Roger and Anita from the 101 Dalmatians. And I completely forgot about them and feel so sad that I did. But I'm remembering when we reviewed that movie and how charmed we were about like how she's kind of a little more proper and stiff. And he and like when they're dancing together.
He's the artist. Yes.
Yes. And they're the dancing creative together. Yeah. And he's like pounding on the keyboard upstairs and she's just kind of annoyed with him. And I'm like, oh, that is a cute
they
one.
They are a good couple. I think they're like one of the more realistic.
Yeah, I would agree.
Kind
with
of couples.
Okay. We have Nani and David from Lilo and Stitch. You haven't seen that movie, I don't think.
No, I've seen Lilo.
Have you?
Stitch.
I haven't seen it in forever.
I don't remember them, but that's fine.
I remember being annoyed with Nani, the older sister, but I did like David. I need to watch it again though. So guys, that one we're going to put a little we're going to thumbtack it up on the wall and we'll come back to it. We have Pacha and Chicha from Emperor's New Groove.
They're pretty, yeah. They're pretty cute.
Oh, I love Chicha. That woman, like, talk about underrated Disney female character. Like, she is the tops,
yeah,
man.
She's pretty good. I like her.
We have Steve Rogers and Peggy Carter, and I about cried when that came up. I was like, oh, yes, thank you.
I was looking at some lists online, and they had, like, Natasha / Black Widow and Bruce Banner. And, not Bruce, yeah, Bruce
yeah,
Banner.
Yeah.
And Natasha and... Steve
and
Natasha
and Hawkeye and you're like, wow, Natasha gets surprised.
Yeah, come on guys, like there's more females in this world than just Natasha.
Yeah,
okay?
Unfortunately, but Peggy has died at that point, but yes,
but it works itself out.
Yeah, and that's a good question because I was looking at Marvel Universe and that came up. So Corbin, just off the cuff, who do you prefer Black Widow with between the three of them?
Well, definitely not Hawkeye because he's got a family. Back off, lady.
I like her with Bruce Banner. I think they have a really, like, they balance each other out in a really unique way, and I'm kind of there for it.
Bruce is kind of strange to me. Anyways.
Okay. And then the last one that came up actually a couple times was Rapunzel and Flynn. People feel like they don't get enough. Like, they're so good, but they don't get enough.
This goes with my properly rated.
Okay.
Is Rapunzel and Eugene.
Uh-huh.
Because... Awesome relationship, love it, but it's just the time.
The time
it's
thing
the
is
time
off
thing
for you.
So I'm not saying they're overrated, but they're right there where they need to be.
So if they had like 2 weeks together, would you say like they need more time?
I don't know. I mean, it's literally 24 hours,
it is,
right?
Yeah.
So you're kind of like, yeah. But I know that works sometimes in the world that we live in. And so I will, again, properly rated.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. My properly rated, since you had Rapunzel and Flynn, I think Han and Leia are properly rated. Like, that for as iconic of a Star Wars couple as they are, I'm like, yep, that works for me. And controversial, we'll get into this later when we review the movies. I think what they did with the relationship in the last three movies makes perfect sense with their personalities.
Oh, in the number seven? Because
yes.
Han doesn't
seven,
make
eight,
it.
Seven, eight, and nine.
Well, he doesn't make it past seven.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. Wow, spoiler, guys. Sorry. but yeah, I think like based on their personalities, like they're such a good couple. I love them in Empire Strikes Back. I love them in Return of the Jedi. Like the whole thing's awesome. But just because they're a great couple doesn't mean that they're going to have like that fairy tale ending. And I think what they did with them made sense based on their personalities.
Oh, that's kind of depressing. You want the fairy tale ending. This is Valentine's Day.
I know, but it's Han Solo. Like, I don't think he's just going to be like, yeah, I'll give up my scoundrelly ways to go have a perfect fairy tale ending. I just don't think that's in his personality.
I think it's Leia that those are the problems.
Okay.
She was too involved in the rebellion. She ruined the relationship.
We'll get into this later. So yeah, any other thoughts, Corbin?
My last one. This
yes.
is my last category.
Okay.
That I'd like to end our Valentine's discussion on. The wishful. Wish.
I don't know what this category
wishful
is.
Wishful relationship. The relationship that you
that
wish.
That should have happened, but
not,
didn't.
I don't want to say should, but you kind of wish that it would have.
Developed.
The chemistry was so good. You're like, don't go apart. But everyone's okay. Like,
okay.
No one's sad or depressed. It's Mary Poppins and Bert.
Oh, man.
And you understand it, and you see how she goes on her way, and Bert's okay with that. But they are just so fun
you
together.
You just want them to like hang out and go on more adventures together.
Don't want her traipsing around connecting with other dudes. It's Bert, okay? It's Bert. He's the one.
And here's the thing with them is like, I don't even know if I don't want to see them on screen like falling in love and like kissing and hugging each other.
Yeah, I don't want to see them. It's like your mom and dad. Mary Poppins and Bert are like mom and dad. It's like, we want you to love each other, but don't show affection.
Oh my gosh. No, I just want to see them. It's almost like I'm okay with it being more of a platonic thing if that's necessary, but they just have such great chemistry. Yeah. I just want to see them hang out and have fun.
They're buds.
Yeah. They're just great buds.
Yeah.
Oh, Corbin, that's a good one.
Thank you.
Oh, Mary and Bert. keep the affection to a minimum, but we love you.
Dance all you want, but no kissing.
Because seriously, as soon as she said that, I was like having this image in my brain. I was like, oh no,
you can't imagine.
Don't go
Mary,
that way.
Mary Poppins kissing anyone. You're just like, oh, like what just happened?
Please,
so,
please
anyways,
stop.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, that was good, Corbin.
Okay,
it was a good note to end on.
Well, there's our Valentine's special, Disney special. So please let us know if you agree or disagree. We're very appreciative of your input and your insight. That was very helpful.
Oh my gosh, guys. It was so much fun to read your answers because some of them I was like, what? Some of them I was laugh crying. Like, it was so good.
Yeah,
so.
Like we were surprised and we remembered things that we had forgotten. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much. So for this next week.
Next week, we're going to be doing a movie review, getting back into our movie reviews, and it's going to be a voting situation. So show up on Instagram on Monday and let us know which movie you want to watch.
All right. Have a happy, merry Valentine's.
Happy, merry Valentine's.
Talk to you later.
This has been another episode of The Neverland Files. Subscribe and review and join the conversation over on Instagram at The Neverland Files. Thanks for listening.